take a deep breath. Good morning, it's nice to be here. Hope you're all doing well. My name is Steve, and a couple of months ago, Matt told me he was going to Hawaii, and he asked whether I'd be interested in doing this. And I said, well, I think I'd better pray about it. So I did, and lo and behold, God said, yes, you should do that. So here I am. It's quite a privilege to be up here and to talk to you all today. Now, some of you might have noticed already that I talk a little different than most people around here. That's because not all of you, right? David, you mean too. I grew up in Liverpool, England. So if for some reason I say something that you don't understand, then you should probably look it up in the Oxford English Dictionary. Meredith said that would get a laugh, and it did. Okay. So what I'd like to talk to you about this morning is how to explore how God calls us to be available so he can change the world through us, making the world a more Christ-centered, just, and loving community. So how can you and I go about responding to the challenge of figuring out what Jesus wants us to do as part of his plan? For the next few minutes, I want to share with you about some of the ways God's plan has manifested itself into my life, and hopefully give you some ideas for your part of the plan too. The first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to share how our plans and God's plans don't always match up. But being open to God's plan can bring blessings that you would never imagine. And I'm going to share right now an example of that. And you'll get emotional here. So, when my wife Meredith and I got married in 1990, we decided we would wait a few years to start a family. But after a couple of years, we discovered that we weren't going to be able to have kids. Now, for any of you that have gone through that, know someone who's gone through that, it's a very difficult time. So what do we do when that sort of thing comes up? Well, Meredith and I decided that we would pray and study to see what God wanted from us. Lo and behold, both of us independently came up with the idea that we should look into adoption. So we did. That's what God pointed us towards, so that's what we did. So we went down that road, we investigated, we figured out what needed to happen, and with God's help, after 9 months of, after a long time of work, home studies, all the heartache that comes with having to put your whole life out there for strangers to see, God said, okay, you're ready. So we put our portfolio out for potential parents to choose us. Now, at that time, I was studying at the University of Washington and getting my degree, and I'll talk a little more about that later. But almost exactly 9 months to the day after we put our portfolio out, I was in the biology building at the University of Washington, zoology. And the phone rang on the secretary's desk, and I just happened to be in there. Now, I didn't go in there very often, but I did on this day. And the secretary says, is Steve West beside him? And I, very surprised to hear my name called out by the secretary. Sure. She said, your wife's on the phone. And I'm thinking, what's happened? Because back then there's no cell phones, right? So you can't just be walking anywhere and be called, right? So I wondered what was going on. So I picked up the receiver, and Meredith says to me, we've been chosen. We're going to meet the birth parents tomorrow for breakfast. And after breakfast, we will receive a baby girl. 9 months to wait, less than a day to be ready. God is good. Amen. So now, a lot of you know my daughter Brenna. She is a beautiful, talented, hardworking lover of Jesus Christ. All her life, she has been a person who would walk up to anybody, especially when she was really small, which was kind of scary, but she would walk up to anybody, want to give them a hug, want to say hello. This has continued in her life. And today, she's married, she lives in Idaho, but she's involved with middle schoolers at her church. She loves those kids. She pours her heart into them, and she is making a difference every time she interacts with them. She is following God's plan for her life. Now, this past week, they had a baptism, the church had a baptism at the river, just like we've done in the past. They had over 70 people there being baptized. She got to baptize one of the sisters. The week before in the church, she got to baptize two others. God is doing an amazing work through her and changing the world around her and in that church and in those kids' lives. I'm so proud of who she is. Now, God's plan to change the world involves three different fields of ministry. First, yourself. Second, others. And third, society itself. Micah 6:8 provides a helpful framework for understanding what is required of us and how we will bring about change in these fields of ministry. So what does God say? He says, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, which is community, love mercy, which is others, and walk humbly with your God, which is self. So, let's talk about the first field of ministry, yourself. So in the first field of ministry, we're called to walk humbly with our God. Before we set out to change the world, we must change ourselves. We must plan to anchor ourselves to God and what He wants us to do. If you're going to be part of God's plan to change the world, then you must begin by changing yourself. There's an old Jewish story about a man who set out to change the world. In making his plan, he said to himself, basing myself on the Talmudic principle that if everyone repented, the Messiah would come, I decided to do something about it. I was convinced I would be successful, but where should I start? Well, maybe I should start in my own country, because the world is so vast. But my country is such a large place. Maybe I should start in my own town. But the town is so big as well. well, maybe I should start on my street. No, maybe my house. No, maybe my family. Oh, maybe I should start on my street. Now, whoops. Let's get too far ahead. Now, changing the world requires us to be with God all the time, praising Him, talking to Him, listening to Him. But when we try to change the world without being firmly rooted in relationship with God and other Christians, we can fall into traps. So let's talk about a few of them. The first one is the Pharisee. Because the Pharisee is not motivated by God's grace, he or she is driven by rigid perfectionism and guided by legalism. The mission is perverted into forcing everyone into one's own mold. Or the do-gooder. Do-gooders are often motivated by their own need to be needed or to make a notable difference instead of true compassion and commitment to meet God's needs. Volunteering for every committee, sharing many times in a meeting, do good. Or maybe it's the Savior complex. Without a sense of God's providence, caring people may feel they must save the world themselves. Far-fetching plans of feverish activity may be based more on anxiety of future rather than the attention to God and discernment of God's will for the here and now. Or maybe being burned out. I can really relate to this one. Our fire for the mission burns out without a vital relationship with God and other Christians. You cannot be part of God's plan for changing the world if you're running on empty. This is a very common issue. People feel alone, nobody cares, and no matter what they do, it's not making any difference. Now, what's the contrast to this? Well, the contrast is Jesus. The strength of Jesus' ministry and ours came from his relationship with God and close friends. His disciples. We read again and again how Jesus, between times of intense ministry, would withdraw with his disciples to a lonely place to pray and share. Changing our world begins with changing ourselves and sustaining that change in our heart, mind, and will. A changed world begins with a changed self. For me, it comes down to two things. Prayer and study. Prayer and study. The more I pray and the more I study, the closer I become to God. I need to spend time in Him so I can be the leader God calls me to be. All of us are called to be leaders. Whether in the home, on your campus, in your church, in your office, in your ministry, in your military unit, or in your civic organization. God has equipped you with the gifts for leadership and serving. As a leader, you must be prepared to spend time alone with God, listening to Him, and allowing yourself to be prepared, trained, and commissioned by Him to step out and lead. Now, the second field of ministry is others. We are called to love mercy. Your most immediate opportunities for sharing God's love is in your relationship with other persons, family members, workmates, friends, acquaintances, etc., etc. Now, I may not look like I'm crazy, but I taught middle school for over 30 years. Okay? Now, middle schoolers are a type of person to themselves, right? I think all of us have at some point or other interactive with middle schoolers, and it can be a challenge. So as a teacher, you can either do it, or you can't. Luckily, I could. Meredith says that it's my middle school humor that gets me through, but so, when I first started in middle school, one of the things I really wanted to do was I wanted to bring Christ into the classroom. But the schools that I taught at were public schools. Public schools are one of the most anti-Christian places you can go, right? You're not allowed to talk about Christ unless you have specific opportunities. And specific ways are brought forward. Now, how do I do that? I couldn't put a cross on the wall. I couldn't put a picture of Jesus on the wall. So I decided to put two other pictures on the wall. One was a donkey, and the other was a lamb. Two everyday animals. But as you know, they're not everyday animals to us. Every day that I walked into the classroom, I would look at those pictures and be reminded of what Jesus did for me. Every day I would walk in and realize that the kids that I was going to interact with on that day would see me. When they saw me, hopefully they would see Christ. Now the other thing it did was it would generate questions from the kids. Why do you have a donkey on the wall? Why do you have a lamb on the wall? Well, as soon as that question is asked, that opens the door for me, right? The reason the donkey is there is because Jesus rode one into Jerusalem to sacrifice himself for each and every one of us so that we could be forgiven of our sins. Why a lamb? Because the Lamb of God is the most important person in my life and has been forever. Those questions gave me the opportunity to share with those kids. And it happened over and over and over again. Kids who never ever heard about Jesus, I could share. Now I was completely and utterly convinced that God wanted me to be in that school. God wanted me there. I asked many times, God, is this really where you want me? Yes. I want you to be in that place. This was part of the opportunity. The other opportunity I had was the fact that I was a science teacher. I taught science for a very long time. And one of the things that we would talk about at certain points was evolution. Now, I don't know what your views on evolution are, but it would give me a wonderful opportunity to talk about Jesus. Now, why? You say, why? Well, kids would ask me, Mr. Westside, do you believe in evolution? Oh, thank you for asking that question. No, it's not about belief. It's about understanding evolution. I can look at the science and I can say, yes, I understand about fossils, about DNA, about all the different science that goes into evolution. I can understand all of it. And you, as a kid, can understand it too. Some of it's pretty complicated, but you can understand the basic stuff. That's what we're going to talk about. But what I believe is Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. So the difference between belief and understanding is I believe that God created this universe. God created this. God created evolution. God created each and every one of us. That will give you another opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. Now, your mission is to infuse your networks of relationships with the grace of Christ, to make mercy and outreaching love a part of your everyday life. So make an inventory of your relationships, and what's called for in each of them. Who do you know that needs your encouragement? Who needs what only you can give? Who needs to hear about Christ from you? Now, your attitudes towards others either open or close relationships as channels of grace. Do you affirm people? Or do you categorize people with labels that limit them? Do you see people for what they have been and then condemn them for that? Or do you see them for who they can become and call them to rise to their potential? Now, I believe that your prayers for others are acts of love for others. Through prayer, God can transform your relationship with others. Through prayer, you help others become changed people by God. God can open opportunities to reach out and witness. Make sure your ministry to others flows from your prayers for others. Now, your friendship with others is how you can share your life and offer Christ. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "All this is done by God who, through Christ, changed us from enemies into friends and gave us the task of making others friends also." So reach out to people that you naturally encounter. Start by making a friend. Take the initiative to get to know the person. Understand the person's life situation, needs, and strengths. Listen and be supportive. Be that person's friend. Share your own life with them. Be there in tough times as well as good times. Reach out, help, and offer assistance, and show agape love. Let them see there truly is a living faith in your life. Now, while I was teaching, there was a teacher who taught in the classroom next to me. He was gay, and he had some struggles in his life. But over time, we got to know each other pretty well. I learned about his family, his relationships, his struggles with his identity. I shared about my family. I shared about my relationship with Jesus Christ. We talk every day when we were working because we talk the same stuff. Now, one Saturday afternoon, I got a call from him, and he asked if I could come to the hospital because his dad was in a really difficult situation. He asked if I could come and pray with him, and pray with his family. Now, relationships can lead to things that you have no idea. I had no idea that God was going to give me the opportunity to speak his truth into that family and to my friend in that situation. Taking the time to get to know him. Taking the time to be his friend. It allowed God to change their life. Now, the father recovered, and we're still, and he and I, still good friends. I haven't talked to him for a little while. I think I probably should give him a call. Now, according to 2 Corinthians 3, 1-3, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human heart. So sharing Christ becomes real and natural when we make it part of our everyday interactions, of sharing ourselves in our relationships. The process will naturally show your personality and spiritual qualities God has given you. Remember, make a friend, be a friend, share Christ with your friend. When hearts are one, support the change with new ways of thinking and living. Opportunities for spiritual support, a study of scripture, and involvement in church and meaningful ministries. Now, the third field of ministry is your social environment, community, world. This is where we're called to do justice. Your world does not consist of just one-on-one relationships. You are an integral part of society and culture. Groups, families, organizations, institutions, workplaces, and governments. You influence your community in how you do or do not participate as a Christian. Your mission is to help Christ alter your community by being an effective Christian influence in it. We see this in Jesus' program for ministry in Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In Matthew 25:31-40, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothing? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Out there in the world, being the face of Jesus can mean that sometimes you have to take an unpopular stand. But you have influence. You have the ability. You have the ability to influence the world for God. When I first started in the classroom, I would go to the staff room and I would sit and eat my lunch and talk with my colleagues. Unfortunately, there were a couple of teachers in there who every day used horrible nasty language, were very negative towards other people, and told nasty jokes. So what I did was I stood up and I said, "Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to come to the staff room. I cannot be here and have my brain filled with all that negative stuff. It does not honor God, so I cannot be here." They looked a little shocked. But they agreed to stop. It shocked me. But they agreed not to do that. Not to use the language. Not to tell the horrible jokes. And try not to be negative. Now the thing that God impressed on me was that I wasn't just talking to them. I was talking to everybody else in the staff room as well. And afterwards, some of those other teachers came up to me and said, "Thank you so much for standing up against that." The other thing that happened was I had many conversations with other teachers after that, because they knew I was a Christian. Because they knew that Jesus is the most important thing in my life. It's amazing what God can do when you give him the opportunity. Now, when you're doing that witnessing out there, make sure that you're doing it in a joyful way, so that the face of Jesus is shown to be loving and joyful. Now, remember that the validity of our witness is not in immediate results. Some will plant, some will water, and some will harvest. In 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9, Paul writes, What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither one who plants, nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The ones who plant and the ones who water have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and God's building. As disciples, we're not called to be successful. We're called to be faithful. Doing what we can with what we have, where we are, to advance God's plan for his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. It begins with one small step. To pray for the opportunity. So, what can you do now that will allow God to make a difference in this world? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all the blessings that you have given us. Lord, I ask this morning as you send us out into the world that you will give us opportunities to share your love with the world. Give us the opportunity to make friends. Give us the opportunity to influence the people around us. Thank you so much for bringing everyone.